Welcome to Hillhurst United Church, the podcast. We're really glad you're here. Whoever you are, wherever you're at, join us on the journey.
This morning for the sermon, there's a brief part by me, and then I'll be joined by two guests who will share their perspective, because truth and reconciliation indeed is an individual opportunity and an individual response. Laura was meant to be here today, but her father is ill, and so she had to be away. And so I've stepped in her replacement, which I know is very second best, but here I am. In 1986, I was a summer student in Bluefields, Nicaragua. I was to be there for 4 months to work with the Moravian Church. Back in that day, the United States was at war with Nicaragua, and it was an incredibly tense time to be there. Many of the Nicaraguans were saying to me, "What are you doing here? If I had a chance to be in Canada, that's where I'd be." In the end, I had to leave early of my 4 month stay, a month early. And when I got back to Toronto, the General Council office, which is the national office, wasn't quite sure what to do with me. And so they said, "We're going to send you to General Council. This is a seven-day meeting. I'm not sure if that was a gift or punishment, but I was invited to be there as an observer to that event, and I've not been to a General Council since. I was 28 years old, and my worldview was narrow and naive. My prejudice and my ignorance was typical of that time. At that General Council meeting, there were debates and discussions, and they were feisty late into the evening. One evening in particular, Reverend Bob Smith, the moderator of the United Church, notified us that he and a committee had created an apology that they were going to write and share with the Indigenous people who were camped near the meeting. It was a dark, hot summer night in Sudbury. I remember standing and watching the moderator in his robes walk down this road to the teepee that was home for the community. I am told that he entered and sat in a circle and read the following statement. "Long before my people journeyed to this land, your people were here, and you received from your elders an understanding of creation and the mystery that surrounds all of us that was deep and rich and to be treasured. We did not hear you when you shared your vision. In our zeal to tell you of the good news of Jesus Christ, we were closed to the value of your spirituality. We confused Western ways and the culture with the depth and breadth and length and height of the gospel of Christ. We imposed our civilization as a condition of accepting the gospel. We tried to make you like us, and in doing so, we helped to destroy the vision that made you what you were. As a result, you and we are poorer, and the image of the Creator in us is twisted, blurred, and we are not what we were meant by God to be. We ask you to forgive us and to walk together with us in the Spirit of Christ so that our peoples may be blessed and God's creation healed." That was the apology, and later this hangs on our wall. There was an apology by the Right Reverend Bill Phipps, who's from our congregation, to the former students of the United Church Indian Residential Schools and to their families and communities. I won't read it all to you, but it recognizes that we are in the midst of a long and painful journey as we reflect on the cries that we did not nor would not hear and how we have behaved as a church. These apologies are a beginning step and acknowledgement. This was a night of humility and tenderness and hopefulness that I was part of, and I'm grateful. There have been many conversations and understandings shared since that time and those apologies and responses with our Indigenous brothers and sisters. This was my beginning to the understanding of the connection between apology and the call to action. Since that time, I've attended the TRC meetings in Edmonton a few years ago and hear people share their tear-filled stories of what happened to them in schools or in the communities they lived. I have seen the Treaty 7 document at Fort Calgary here in the city, led by Reverend Tony Snow. I have participated in the missing and murdered women marches in this city, and some of you were also present there. Hearing the painful story of mothers, grandmothers, aunts, and family who tell their story is a heartbreaking event. They're called that the inequities and systemic injustice that is prevalent in our country be addressed. I've also been part of the blanket ceremony that graphically teaches the history and story. And I remember standing at the back of our church marking the death of 215 Indigenous children when the graves of Indigenous people were found in Kamloops a few years ago. While it was a sunny day, it was a dark moment in our history as the bell rang 215 times, bringing attention to this horror. As I think of my role, it has been a listening role so far, to show up and to listen and to hear the stories and the words and wisdom of our Indigenous people. I have read and continue to try to understand the many stories and try to share as they share their life. It has been a time of learning and unlearning, to seek a better understanding of my role and our role as a people. Dr. Murray Sinclair, leader of the Truth and Reconciliation Process, recently wrote a book that I don't believe is out yet, but coming very soon, called Who We Are, Four Questions for a Life and a Nation, Indigenous Ways of Knowledge and Storytelling. I can't wait to read this book because there are very four questions that you and I must answer for ourselves. Where do I come from? Where am I going? Why am I here? And who am I? These are incredibly important existential and real questions for our living. I can't wait to read his book. He writes in an interview, "We are not just bearers of the burden of history, but also the beneficiaries of our new awareness." I love that. It's not just dragging the past, but also hoping for a future. We're not just inheriting the painful legacy of the past, but inheriting the awareness and knowledge of why and how things happen, and thus the responsibility, underlined, to do something about it. So I've shared with you a little bit of my journey, my walk, my story. You'll have your own story, your own walk, in your own time. It is learning and unlearning, learning and unlearning. The long path taken in Sunbury that evening in 1986 for the apology was the beginning for me. The road has twists and turns, highs and lows, and there is so much I can't wait to discover. This is my ongoing story. Thanks for listening. I invite you to our music as our speaker comes.
My name is Andre Ifri, and I'm holding an artifact that is called a tall feather. If you can't see this well, come up after the service and I'll talk to you about the feather. This feather, creating it as part of a workshop in Bowness a year ago, is part of my journey in reconciliation. And that journey has been really aided by all of the programming, all of the activities we do here at Hillhurst United. It's included some of the things that John spoke about, a blanket ceremony, various discussions. I've gone to powwows with our Right Relations Circle, who are behind a lot of this programming. And on my own, I've done two tall feather workshops. I liked the first one so much, I did a second. And I've done courses, for instance, through the University of Alberta. Do not, for a minute, think that I am virtuous about this journey of reconciliation, because until we heard about those mass graves at a residential school in Kamloops, I knew almost nothing. And I've been in a hurry ever since to make up for what I didn't know so that I can make a contribution with the rest of you. Let me tell you just a little bit about the story behind the workshops. These bring together Indigenous elders who share stories, a collective of artists, and people like you and me who are not artists, but who want to contribute in a meaningful way to reconciliation. I made this with a young woman I'd never met before. We sat together and we decided that the story that we would tell as part of our feather would be about a people who are on a journey. And so at the bottom of this feather, you will notice there are some orange and green circles, and these are a people who are wandering together. And you notice they're not on a straight line. They are wandering, but they're sticking together as a community. You will also notice on the feather, at the central point here and again at the top, that there are green circles which are hollow. These are the souls who have not yet returned and who were lost to us. The overriding message of these workshops is that we are one with all of creation. The rocks, the trees, the water, the air, the plants, the animals. These are all our relations. And I find this incredibly heartening because not only as part of this journey am I beginning to contribute to reconciliation, to the truth as well, but I'm discovering that I belong. And for somebody who spent most of her life not feeling like she belonged anywhere, this is an incredibly heartening message for me. And it's one that we can all contribute together if we stick together as a community and join on this journey. Thank you.
Hi there, my name is Yuta Shaw, and I'm happy to be able to talk to you today on the day before Truth and Reconciliation Day. I've been interested in Indigenous matters for a long time, extending back many years to my days as a political science student. I'm really glad that things have changed for the better since then. And I've now been drawn to truth and reconciliation work because of the Indigenous perspective of living with the earth. The book Braiding Sweetgrass by Robin Wall Kimmerer opened my eyes to seeing the world in a way completely different from my own. Kimmerer is a beautiful writer and provides a compelling vision of living in harmony with the earth, which Indigenous people have done since time immemorial. Kimmerer speaks of the reverence and respect due to all beings, plants and animals, and especially the earth. She also describes a way of life characterized by reciprocity. We can take from the earth to meet our needs, but what are we giving back? About the time that I was reading Braiding Sweetgrass, I had the wonderful opportunity of participating in Sarah Arthur's Green Exodus events. And with the teaching of Tony Snow, I began to realize the importance of embracing the land where we live. I wanted to learn more about the local indigenous peoples and surrounding land of Calgary. And I was excited to hear about Hillhurst's Right Relations Circle and eager to get involved. The Right Relations Circle responds to a call to action by the Truth and Reconciliation Commission to become educated about the history of colonial Indigenous relations in Canada. And we are on a journey towards Indigenous allyship. The circle offers many resources and companions for the journey. And we have emphasized becoming involved in local Indigenous events and continuing our education. This summer, I visited two powwows, and the most recent one was hosted by the Tsuut'ina Nation near Redwood Meadows. Most nations seem to have this annual gathering and cultural celebration. And about five of us from Hillhurst drove out together. We were there for the introduction of the dancers from every age group. The dancers' regalia was stunning, reflecting all of the colors of the rainbow. And we only stayed for part of the evening, but the celebration would continue for two more days. I invite you to join our Right Relations Circle and learn about rich Indigenous culture and history and how to live in a good way with all our relations. Thanks.
I'm going to invite Elijah Gunther to share his words about education today from his perspective.
We definitely do a lot of learning about truth and reconciliation, like in grade 7, when I went to school. A lot of it was Indigenous studies, so we would read a bunch of Indigenous short stories, so like creation stories like Turtle Island, and we would learn a lot about that stuff. And then later on in grade 8 and 9, I learned more about like colonialism and how that impacted Indigenous cultures in Canada. And it was really amazing, especially this year, to realize the extent of that. So right now it's become a lot more real in my world, in a sense, because now I actually understand more of the reality of what happened. A lot of the stuff that the church does is amazing, like especially with Tony Snow coming and being present around that, and you know, all of the practices that we've kind of incorporated into our services, you know, having a much longer land acknowledgement. It is, you know, kind of disparaging and thinking like this can never be changed. But I think there is a lot of hope, because the first step in reconciliation is enlightenment, like learning about, you know, what happened, which can kind of get us back to, which can kind of help but like set us on the road of reconciliation. I definitely don't feel guilty, because it wasn't my fault that settlers from Britain and European countries came and colonized Canada. I definitely feel a responsibility to that, even though it's a large hurdle to overcome. Truth and reconciliation can be about the small things, like learn more about it, like go to the library and pick up a book about, you know, how Canada was formed, and kind of learn more about what Indigenous peoples went through and how we can stop that from happening again.
path to truth and reconciliation is a journey, a road we walk. We are awakened, inspired, encouraged to be ourselves and to continue to learn and be in partnership with each other, because indeed we are all a part of it. May the words that have been shared this day be a gift for you and I as we journey. Amen. For our prayers this day, we are going to invite you to a tradition we used to do prior to COVID, and thank goodness it's come back, an opportunity to come forward to knead bread, which will be baked and broken but not eaten by humans when we have communion in the coming days. So the invitation is to come, and there'll be someone at the table. There's three at the front, one at the back, to knead whatever silent prayers you would like to into that bread. In this sacred ritual, we give thanks for the bread that comes from the ground and for the prayers that are part of our body. Before we do that, I simply want to say welcome to you, Reverend Tony Snow, who is here. Tony leads the Indigenous community in truth and reconciliation for our region. So we come in solemn celebration, a gift of offering our prayers from our heart into the bread. I invite you to come, if you are willing and able, to one of the stations. We invite us to hear Elijah's blessing for this day.
Remember that we're all people in this world, and we all have the same emotions as people. Bearing that in mind, go out and realize your full potential with connecting people.
Leave this place knowing that you do not journey alone, that indeed we are interconnected. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, Mother of us all, journey in peace this day and always. Amen.
Thanks so much for tuning in to Hillhurst United Church, the podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode and are thinking about someone who might enjoy it too, we invite you to send it their way and help the podcast grow. We're really glad you're here, and we'd love to know what you thought about today's sermon. Leave us a review in iTunes or send us an email at communications@hillhurstunited.com. We'd love to hear from you.